This Gamertag episode is brought to you by Gamefly. If you've ever wanted to try a game before you bought it, you should try Gamefly. It's the best way to buy and rent all your favorite games and movies. They're the leading video game rental service with over 9,000 titles to choose from. Just pick your favorite games and have them mailed straight to your door. Then keep them for as long as you want and never worry about late fees. Plus, you can cancel at any time. Visit Gamefly.com/Gamertag to start your free 30-day trial today. That's Gamefly.com/Gamertag.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Podcasting since 2005.
Take it out.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Back on the scene.
With your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 570. This is your host, Danny. And also we have the whole Gamertag Radio crew, co-hosts of the show. Let's start off with Pete Rock. Pete.
Hey, what's up?
What's up with you, man? Just a couple of weeks. E3, man. E3.
Yeah, it's starting to finally seep into my psyche that, hey, we're all going to be in LA in a couple of weeks. I'm stoked. It's hitting me.
Yeah, same here, man. Same here. And also joining us, co-host of the show, Paris.
Yeah, it's also starting to sink in for me. I have to share a dwelling with Pete Rock and his yak noises for a week. So, I'm excited about E3, but at the same time, I'm not excited to go to sleep at E3. I can tell you that now.
Who needs to sleep?
There is no sleep.
Well, for the 20, exactly. Definitely with Pete, there sure as heck ain't no sleep.
Sleep 3.
Sleep 3. Oh my God. So many things going on, man. You know what? Before I mention anything, let me play this pretty cool promo right now.
Gamertag Radio is headed to E3 2016.
E3 is one of the biggest events for Gamertag Radio, and you don't want to miss this.
Join hosts Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo direct from the convention center floor.
Get daily interview, roundtable discussion, the latest news from the crew,
everything you need to know,
all the latest gaming coverage,
developer interviews, VR, and more.
E3 2016 coverage from Gamertag Radio.
June 13th through the 17th. GamertagRadio.com or play.it/gamertag.
And yes, ladies and gentlemen, that's our official E3 promo 2016. Man, I am so pumped. So pumped. Especially after listening to that. I think it's gonna be a very special E3 for us, man. So I can't wait. Can't wait. Thoughts, guys, very quick about the promo, man.
I like it. I think it's pretty good.
Hype.
There. Hype. All right. Hype.
Hype. All
right. I think we should do one for Eat. Eat. 2016.
Jesus, Danny. I keep telling you I'm not doing this, and you keep talking about it like you're just going to trick me into eating somehow. It's not going to happen. I keep telling you,
dude,
this.
You know what we're going to do? We're going to tie you up, blindfold you, and take you to a random location. And once we are in there, you're going to start eating.
Let me tell you something right now. I'm stronger than both of you combined. That is not happening. You will not be able to do that.
Oh, God. Too funny, man. All right. Head over to GamertagRadio.com or play.it/Gamertag. Listen to our past episodes. And also you can find us different podcast directories, such as iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other locations. So just subscribe and spread the word. And especially those iTunes listeners, make sure to post your review. It will help us big time to climb in the charts. And yeah, go for it. Go for it. Also, give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Email us, fanmail at gamertagradio.com. For a second there, I totally forgot the email.
And speak wow. pipe.
And, oh, yes, Paris, thank you. Well, those international listeners, or anybody, even here in the States, you could also record a voicemail through this website. Go to speakpipe.com/gamertagradio, and you could leave a message through there, too. And I believe there's an app for it with iPhone, so check it out and leave a messages there.
And you forgot one last thing.
What?
Our official app on the ColecoVision and the Vetrex. You can also listen to the show that way as well.
Oh, there you go. Oh, my God.
In television app coming soon.
All right. All right. All right. All right. Another thing, too, we definitely got to talk about is that we got nominated 2 years in a row. The comedy. Wow.
It is comedy. A comedy dealing with you every week.
Oh, God. Whatever. The Academy of Podcasters Awards happening July 6th in Chicago. And we got nominated under the Games and Hobbies category. And it's cool. There's pretty good other podcasts there. They also got nominated with us and pretty pumped up. I'm going to be going over there with my fiance, going over there for the first time, Chicago. And I believe Saad, Cyber Athlete, hit me up. He said he wants to like hang out and stuff, so I'm probably going to chill over there. And for those listeners that live close to the Chicago area and would like to go and like to attend the event with me, the awards, just hit me up, godfrey@gamertaggrid.com. Let's make this happen. We'll have like a little meetup and just go to the awards and all that good stuff. We did that last year. We got, I believe, like it was like 7 or 8 listeners from the Fort Worth, Dallas area. We met up and went to the awards together, man. It was a lot of fun, man. So let's make that happen. All right. So speaking of E3 and all that good stuff, I know we talked about that earlier during the show, but here's the quick news. E3 open to the public, sort of. They're going to have a free to the public, kind of like similar to E3, but it's going to be on the side somewhere close to the LA Convention Center during the week of E3. There's not going to be that many companies there, but at least you could get to play some titles, you know, from Oculus, Ubisoft, Warner Bros. I believe is going to be there.
Alienware
too. Yeah. I mean, that's not bad. It's free. And I believe tickets sold out within a couple hours, less than 24 hours. So yeah, your thoughts, guys. I'm not surprised about this. I thought it was going to happen inside the convention center.
I definitely have a thought on this. We're literally attending the last E3 this year. I'm convinced now. Tap out. We're done. I think
really?
This is it.
Because
I'm not even being funny when I say that. I truly think next year we're going to see some more big companies pull out of the convention center. And they're going to do their own thing. E3, as we know it today, is going to go away because these companies are going to realize, why don't we just do our own thing, have public events at our own thing, like Xbox Fan Fest. You got EA Play going. Ubisoft's now doing a thing. They're just going to expand and iterate. Yeah, you got PlayStation Experience. They're going to just iterate on this and make them bigger. And they're going to do their own things and attract crowds through their own things. Because there's so many. I mean, think about it. There's like 20 million people in the greater Los Angeles area, right? So if everyone wanted to do their own thing, packed houses, no matter what they do, their message gets out there no matter what they do. Instead of having to deal with the ESA and be in the convention center and follow their rules and do all that kind of stuff, they're not doing it no more. No way. I'm telling you, embrace this E3 because this very well may be the last. Look, I may have to go to Roscoe's at the end Thursday because this might be it. That's what I'm saying. I'm being dead serious when I say that too. I truly, honestly, 100% believe that now. And shout out over to our friends over at Spawn on Me because they had Austin Walker on from Giant Bomb. And they were talking about this as well. And it wasn't necessarily the doom and gloom that I'm talking about, but dude, the writing's on the wall, man. It's on the wall. This public event feels just so reactionary and half-assed to me that if this is what they're doing to get the public engaged in E3, it's done.
Mm-hmm. And here's another thing, too, that Ubisoft, they also have like a similar to like a public event, too, that the fans could attend. This is like away from the LA Convention Center. They've been doing this now for a couple years. It hasn't been that big before, but now there's another one, too, probably going to be a little bit bigger than last year. You know, you could go over there and play their games and stuff, and you don't have to be at a convention center to play it. So that's Ubisoft, EA, you know, FanFest and all this stuff. Man, I don't know, man. There's going to be probably way more companies that are going to start doing this next year once they see the results, the buzz, and all the gamers in all these different locations playing these games and talking about it on Twitter and social media and all that stuff. So, man, E3 is going to be very, very different next year.
And and don't forget Bethesda's thing Sunday night. That isn't just media too. They're inviting people to that as well. I mean, that's what I'm saying, man.
You're right. Dude, you're right.
It's not what it was 3 years ago. Let's just put it that way.
At all. But that's the thing. I'm kind of confused because, you know, Microsoft is going to give away badges to it for those gamers that would like to attend E3 inside the convention center. This is totally different what E3 is planning to do too, you know. And I know every company has a certain amount of badges that they could give it away to their communities, for the week of E3. So, dude, that place is gonna be like a zoo. Let me tell you, so many people, man. I hope you guys are prepared for it, man.
I know that there was a big hullabaloo to be made about this last year when Microsoft said, you know, we're going to have 500 people, you know, come inside, and a couple of other companies started getting access to additional tickets and letting non-media attend E3 as if they had, you know, the same, you know, cachet as, you know, we're given the privilege to go to. A lot of people within the media, or I don't want to say all media, but, you know, within media/blogosphere kind of didn't like it because it's crowded enough as it is, even with the ESA's strict adherence to their, you know, there's some people that still don't have access or have been admitted or have been accepted as, you know, to get into E3. So now you've got all these extra 500, 1,000 people roaming the halls. You're already waiting long enough as it is to see some of these you know, new games and demos and hands-on experiences. So now you have all these extra people roaming the halls. Granted, I think this is a good opportunity to, as bad as this may sound, like lessen the herd. You know what I mean? Like get people to see some of it so that it lightens the amount of people that get into the doors that allows the rest of the media people to do what they're there to do. Am I wrong in thinking that maybe this is a way to placate the masses so that they see something, but still have all of the big heavy news information is still going to be indoors for the media while, you know, E3 live, just, you know, gives a little E3 experience to the fans.
Now, I disagree slightly because I don't think what happens on the show floor really affects us in the sense that, you know, just to give people a little inside baseball, the vast majority of interviews and demos that we get is because we have appointments and we're going to meeting rooms to see this. This isn't things that are happening live on the show floor. I mean, yeah, the show floor can get packed and there's a ton of people around there. I'd rather them let them do their thing and let the public in so they can see all the stuff that we see. And we're still going behind closed doors to do our interviews and to see these demos of these big games and stuff. So I don't necessarily, that's what I'm saying. This feels half-assed to have some little event out in LA live. And then you really don't have all the big companies supporting it. You have some of the B-level companies supporting this EA live thing. The public's still not seeing the big stuff that they want to see. That's why I'm saying, you look at EA Play, they're saying, hey, public, you want to see Titanfall 2? You want to see Battlefield 1? You want to see Mass Effect Andromeda? We're letting you in to see it. You get hands-on with it. You get the buzz about it. You can tweet about it and Instagram it and Twitch it or whatever the hell the kid's doing. I don't even know what Snapchat is. I really don't. But the point is, that's the way to do it. You need to let the public have hands on with it if you're going to truly let the public in. To just give them a little taste really does nothing. You might as well stay home and watch it on YouTube gaming or Twitch versus.
What do you mean does nothing?
I mean, the EA live public event, it's pointless. It's pointless. If you want to give people the true E3 experience, you need to let them on the show floor. You need to let them see what we see on the show floor, not some little half-ass event at LA Live. That's
you're
my point.
You're saying that because you've been attending E3 for a very long time. But like, let's say a regular person that never been to it, they go to like a little event that they have on the side, and they go inside and play the games that's available there. That's nowhere to be found. You can't find that at Best Buy. You can't find that at other retail stores. And there's no demos, and they're playing that for the first time. They're going to get excited. I think that's okay. I don't see nothing wrong with that.
I'm not saying it's wrong, but again, they're still not seeing the big games that are on the show floor. They're seeing what companies decide, hey, we'll throw a little something out there, you know, to the public at LA Live. They're not seeing what we truly see. That's my point. It's not the true experience. Again, this is why E3 is going away, I think. It's changing. The way access, social media, the way everything's set up now, the landscape is different than it was 10 years ago when E3 truly mattered. I don't think it matters anywhere near what it used to, except for investors and retailers behind closed doors. But to the on the show floor and all that, irrelevant now. These companies can do their own thing.
Man, I remember reading magazines way back in the days, man, and they used to talk about E3 all the time. And there was no websites or anything like that back then. Reading it in magazines, I was like, man, I can't wait. I can't wait. One day I would love to attend E3. You know, and then came, you know, the whole internet thing, blogging, that took over. And now the whole video and podcast took over too. And it just changed, man. It's just like, I don't know, man. They need the public. They need the public to attend E3, man. If they don't, to me, this thing is just going to like fade away, and then companies are going to do their own thing and forget it. That's it. I think it's going to be over like that if they don't make those changes. But so I think this is just a test. And yeah, you're right, Paris. I think next year it's going to be a totally different E3. Make everything into one instead of having so many different events in all these locations near the downtown area, you know? So Pete, anything else, Pete? We go to the next topic.
Yeah, it's just, I think we're all, rest in peace. I think, you know, we're saying, I think we may have talked about this already a few times.
We have.
It's a bad trend, and dare I say it, social media killed journalism almost. I mean, it's to the point now where it might be.
You think social media killed journalism?
Think about it. People are now going, most of the times people want to get their information as soon as possible and in the quickest way possible. So if they can get their information via at breaking news or via, you know, whether it's CNN or whatever news agency, over 140 characters as a quick snippet, as opposed to going out and getting the full scoop. I mean, in today's hustle mentality world, especially here in the United States, people want to know what they're reading. Like, most people won't go through the whole article. They'll read. I mean, we've all been privy to this where we see something on the internet, we post it, and we realize, you know, the headline was just something to get you to click into the link, and then the rest of the article has nothing to do with it, or it's false. God knows I've been privy to this. I've been privy to this dozens of times, as well as you, Danny, and everybody else has. We've all been guilty of that. So
that's why
it's things like that. I mean, hell, think about it. TMZ, you know, up to about a few years ago was considered a farce. Now most people, unless TMZ is reporting it, it ain't true. So I don't know.
That's crazy how it changed.
It is. And it's and it's something to consider, especially now with, you know, you got the social media, the streaming. Most people want to see the video game in action, not. And unfortunately, as bad as it sounds towards us, they may not want to hear about it or read about it. They'd rather see it for their own eyes. And that's one of the reasons why video is so popular. And it's just another way of introducing media, and I'm using air quotes on an audio podcast, introducing a media style to the public that goes against what is conventional. E3 worked great 10, 12, 13 years ago, but now as social media and video and everything else has changed the landscape of journalism and getting out all this information, maybe it's time E3 gets that tweak that it needs. Maybe this is their way of saving E3, is maybe giving a little bit to the people while still keeping the big announcements for the media types.
You know what I just thought about right now, Paris, especially, you remember when we were attending E3 years ago when either Facebook just started or Twitter just started. It was like a struggle just to get people just to like see our content through Twitter, because there was no mobile phones, smartphones how it is now,
right,
at that time, you know?
Right.
It was crazy thinking about that right now. So yeah. You were going to say something, Paris?
No, and I was just going to say, and this trend isn't just E3. If you think about it, look at Comic-Con. Look at all the major companies that are pulling out of Comic-Con now. I mean, they're doing it for different reasons, but the point is they don't trust delivering their message through this controlled convention. They'd rather do it on their own. Like, who's the latest to pull out? I think Fox just pulled out. They're not going to do anything. Marvel doesn't show anything there anymore. You know what I mean? Just et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, we're just seeing it also, you know, filter into video games as well. So, look, I mean, I'm saying it drastic that E3 may be gone by next year. But, look, 5 years from now, I'll be shocked if we're still talking about E3 the way we are talking about it today. I really will.
Now, I know people that are listening, they're going to email us saying, oh, my God, Paris said E3 is gone. No, okay. He meant it's going to change differently. It's not going to be the same as before. There is, right, Paris? That's what you're trying to say?
I'm saying it's going to have a drastic change. Yeah, the current setup of it, the way it works right now, it's got to change. I just don't see it. It's starting to burst at the seams. Something has to change. And like I said, because I forget who I was saying this to offline just yesterday, but I was saying that if EA Play winds up being a huge success, do you not think someone else is going to copy that? Of course they are. And then the dominoes are just going to fall from there.
Pete, I know you posted this in the chat about Titanfall. What's going on with that? Titanfall 2?
Just a minor drop from Respawn. There's confirming. I think we've already confirmed it, and there was definitely an October release pattern for Titanfall 2. Mountain Dew is, you know, apparently going to be part of the marketing display for them, so that's pretty cool. Bigger multiplayer maps and allegedly a handgun called the Violator. I mean, I'm a big Spawn fan, so anything that says Violator is pretty dope. Hey, and also you know, big up to the conglomerate and Busta Rhymes, right? We're talking grappling hooks, the same old, you know, above ground gameplay. I don't know, it's just this starts to feed the E3 news information, you know, especially for a highly anticipated game like Titanfall. I don't know. It starts now. You know, here's a little bit more information. Here comes Titanfall 2 coming out the woodwork. Next thing you know, EA Play happens, and we all get hopefully floored with what they have to offer. So,
you know that EA spent some serious money for that Mountain Dew deal. So yeah, Paris, remember you were saying that this is their focus.
Oh, I do. Miss Leo told you. I told you, boy. I told you it's going to be all about the Titanfall 2 in 2016. I'm telling you, this is the game for EA in 2016. It's not going to be Battlefield 1. It's going to be Titanfall 2.
Okay. You're right.
And look where it's coming out. It's coming out in October, which means they're making sure they get it out before Call of Duty and around the same time as Battlefield 1. So they obviously don't fear those other two games as being a competitor to what they're going to bring to the table with Titanfall 2. So,
well, the fact that they're dropping it around the same time as Battlefield shows that they've got a lot of confidence in this title to succeed.
Exactly.
Both titles, because that's their game.
Well, we know Battlefield's going to sell. That's almost a no-brainer. Titanfall 2 is still somewhat new, and especially for people on the PlayStation. Remember, this was you know, a Windows exclusive. Let's say like that. You know, this is a Microsoft exclusive because it was only on Xbox and it was only on Origin. So this is, they're treading new territory, and I'm assuming they're hoping that being able to tap into that, how many millions is it? 30 million consoles sold. That's a big ecosystem that you're missing out on. That's a lot of numbers.
What do you think about PlayStation 4?
Yeah, total number of consoles.
Try 40.
Okay. 40 times 60. Let's chop it in half. We'll say 15. 15 times $60. You know what I mean? 15 million times $60. That's a whole lot of ducats that's missing out of the EA coffers. I'm pretty sure EA and Respawn want to get a little action on that. So,
but speaking of the whole Windows stuff, I know that this has just been announced today that cross-network play arrives on Xbox One and Steam Machine for the game Rocket League. For those that have been playing it on Xbox or Steam, like I believe, Harris, have you been playing Rocket League on the Steam or is it Pete? I can't remember exactly. One of you two.
Yes.
Been playing this
game. Yeah, Rocket League is
stupid. So well,
if you weren't sure, why did you call me out in front of Aaron Greenberg on Twitter today if you weren't sure if I was playing it or not?
Because you're a Steam fan. So I was like, all right, you could play with Paris.
Well, technically, Mr. Pena, I play it on PlayStation 4, and my son really plays it. I don't play it that much.
Oh, so that means you can't play with us. Sorry, man.
But I do have it on Steam. I just never played it.
So there you go. I knew it. I was right. So that's it. You could play with Aaron, man. And you could send text to Aaron.
No. I told him on Twitter, I'd rather do cross-play Gears of War 4. Let's do that.
Mm. You know, he stayed quiet.
I know. You know you ain't going to say none of that. I knew he wouldn't.
Well, you also have to understand that the guys over at Rocket League, what is Psyonix is the name of the company, they've been working on this for a long time. It's a lot easier to do that Xbox across Windows gameplay as opposed to crossing complete platforms with Xbox and with Microsoft and Sony as two totally different networks. I mean, we've seen instances like this with, was it Shadowrun in the past, but this is treading new ground for video games as a whole. And hopefully, yep. I mean, and hey, you know, maybe this is something that we haven't heard out of the Sony camp. Maybe this is something they may want to bring up at their press conference to join the fray, to join cross-network play.
All right.
Wow, Danny just kind of blew you off. No, I agree, Pete. Maybe PlayStation will do that. We'll see, you know. But it makes sense that eventually we're going to get there with a lot of third-party games. We'll see this cross-platform play stuff. So hopefully Sony will do something like that. I would look forward to it. But before we move on to the next topic, let's take a word from our sponsor, Gamefly. Are you guys ready to save some money and play more games? Well, then let me introduce you to Gamefly. It is the best way to buy and rent all your favorite games and movies. Just go to Gamefly.com, pick your favorite games, and have them mailed directly to your door. Gamefly is the leading video game rental service. Over 9,000 titles to choose from. You can get Rocket League, or you can get Uncharted 4. Let's try your favorite games and movies before you buy. Keep the games as long as you want, and you'll never have to worry about late fees, and you can cancel at any time. And like I said before, they now offer movie rentals as well. So go to Gamefly.com/gamertag and start your free premium 30-day trial today. That premium trial allows you to check out two games or movies at any time. You only have to get this offer by going to Gamefly.com/gamertag. So, you know, we've been talking about this for a few weeks already. It is a fantastic deal. Again, it's the premium trial. You're going to get two games you can check out on any platform you want. And if you love the Gamefly experience after 30 days, hey, you just sign up and you just keep it going. So again, go to Gamefly.com/gamertag. Sign up for that free premium 30-day trial today.
All right, and it's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
Fan mail.
All right, so we have, I believe, 5 voicemails, and we also have a lot of emails. So let's go with voicemail number 1. This is from a first-time caller.
What's up, GTR crew? This is Matthew from Phoenix. First-time caller, long-time listener. I just got done listening to episode 569, your Bethesda E3 predictions. Really digging what you guys are saying on that episode, but curious if you think that Bethesda will give us some more details or even the official release date for Elder Scrolls Legends. Big Hearthstone fan over here. Don't think that Elder Scrolls Legends is going to come in and kill Hearthstone. I think it's too much of a beast, but it'd be interesting to see another contender come on the playing field, and especially with the world of Elder Scrolls and all that good stuff. So just curious about your thoughts on that, and keep up the good work. Godfrey, congratulations on the engagement, and I will see you guys on the flip side. All right, take it easy.
All right, guys. He talked about episode 560. Wait, was it 569? Yes. About Bethesda. You know, giving us. Do you think they're going to give us more details about the Elder Scrolls game? Your thoughts?
Well, go ahead, Pete.
Actually, I think he was talking more about the card-based game, which is more like, you know, I guess it's the direct competition for what, Hearthstone?
Yeah, Elder Scrolls Legends.
Correct. Legend, right. So, yeah. I mean, I still think there's going to be a much bigger Elder Scrolls announcement at E3. I don't know if Legends is going to be the one. I don't know if it's even been released yet. I think it was announced for release sometime this year, but I don't think it's been officially released. Maybe they give an actual date. I mean, it's been in development for a small amount of time, so I don't see why they wouldn't. It's going to be really, really difficult for anybody to unseat something like Hearthstone. So, I mean, it's Hearthstone's been around for a while now, and that is the de facto card game. I mean, hell, Gwent's got more time on the board than Elder Scrolls Legends in the card-based game industry. So I don't know. I don't think it's I don't see Legends being the game that usurps Hearthstone at this point.
No, I agree. I don't think it's going to overtake Hearthstone at all, but we could see that announced at the Bethesda press conference at E3. And I do disagree with both of you. If we get anything Elder Scrolls, it's going to be that. They're not going to talk about the full game. Not this year. They got too many other things that they can announce. And obviously the big one's going to be Dishonored 2. That's going to be their big game.
Okay. All right. So let's play the next voicemail. This is from ATL, all from ATL, Atlanta, Georgia.
How you doing, guys? My name is DeAndre Montgomery. I was calling from Atlanta, Georgia. I got a few. I got some things that I want to say about the Xbox. Do you guys think that if Xbox lowered the price to $200, do you think it would be more competitive towards PlayStation? And I know y'all guys were discussing. Paris and Pete was discussing getting the 1080. I'm trying to build my first PC. What do you guys think about 1080 benchmarks that came out last week? And do you think it's better than getting two 980 Ti's versus versus getting the 1080? I really like to hear back from you guys, and keep up the good work. You guys are spreading like wildfire. Everybody at work is talking about the show. I really appreciate y'all guys giving out the info that you guys give out. Just keep up the hard work, and just let me know what you guys think about that 1080, and let me know what you guys think about the price of 199 for the Xbox. Thank you.
All right, I could have sworn that Paris and Pete already answered this question. We talked about this in the previous episodes, right? About if Xbox One, they lower the price, if that's going to be competitive with a PlayStation. Yes. Now the whole 1080 stuff, that's Paris and Pete, because I really don't know much about the whole PC stuff. So either one of you want to answer it? I believe we answered that already a couple of episodes ago.
No, I mean, we have talked about this. And again, thank him for sending that voicemail. On the first part with the Xbox One lowering it to $200, yeah, I think if they were to drop it to $200, I mean, that thing would fly off the shelves. Absolutely, because that's a bargain at that point. Then it would put pressure on Sony that, you know, this whole Neo 4K thing is real. They would need to make that base PlayStation 4 $199 as well. I don't think they could have it higher. But on the 1080 part, I know he was asking about does it outperform two 980 Ti's in SLI? No, but it's close. It's close enough that I would still go with the 1080 over getting the two 980 Ti's for the simple fact that, and Pete and I were talking about this offline last week, that while SLI is great, I'm going single GPU if I can from now on, because not every game scales properly to take full advantage of the two cards. So you're going to have some games that will absolutely, with the two 980 Ti's, is going to output, it's going to have better performance than the 1080. But then you're going to have other games that don't necessarily take full advantage of SLI, and that 1080, especially if you overclock it, is going to outperform those two 980 Ti's. So I'm just going to hedge my bet. I'm going to go with just a single GPU. I'm going to go with the 1080. And like I said, I'll probably most likely overclock it. And like I said, hopefully, fingers crossed, when the partner cards come out, we'll be getting a review unit at some point after E3 in June. And then I'm 100% going to do a bunch of benchmarks on that stuff. Matter of fact, I saw a fantastic video yesterday of someone with a 1080 card. They overclocked it and they were running The Witcher 3 in 4K and they were damn near getting 60 frames per second. And I was like, yes, this is for me. I cannot wait. All
right. I'm still on the fence about whether I'm just going to go early and just get a partner card, get a reference card.
No, do not do that. It's a waste of money. You're literally, I just want to give you $100 for nothing. That's what you're doing.
Yeah, and get it 3 months early.
It's not, Paris. June, May. How is that 3 months?
Paris is mad. I'm going to get it before him now.
No, you're throwing away money because the partner cards come out at Comdex. That's middle of June. Why would you waste $100 now when all you got? Look, ain't like you're going to be playing anything before E3 anyways. Basically wait till after E3. You know what? It's your money. Do what you want.
I'm going to mirror what Paris said, going back to Diatri's question.
No, no, you're getting the founder's card now. That's what you're doing.
Forget about 1080, right?
No, but I have to mirror what Paris is going to say. I mean, I believe the initial reports were the 1080 was, what, 50%, almost 50% more powerful than the 980 Ti? Or was it just the 980 that was 50%?
It's the 980. The 980, it's about 60% more powerful. The Ti, it was less. It was like in the 40s or something like that.
Okay, but still, I mean, For the amount of money you're going to throw in on a dual card solution, might as well just get the 1080 and have a nice day. It's going to do everything. It's going to be more than capable. You're going to be future proofed for at least the next 2 years, at least. So I don't know. Who knows? Maybe I go founders and throw away money, or maybe I hold off and wait. We'll see.
I mean, think of it this way. Think of it this way. Yeah. If you're looking to go 1440p or 1080p, that 1080 card is going to last you for about a good 4, maybe even 5 years.
Yeah.
At decent settings, realistically. If you're trying to do 4K, it really doesn't do 4K because it doesn't consistently do 4K 60 on the high-end games on Ultra. That's kind of the benchmark for that. So really, it's going to be that 1080 Ti is going to be the one to keep your eye on if you're looking at a single GPU card that can do reliable 4K. So
we're talking $800 in a couple.
Like I said, I'm sure a year from now, Pete and I will be having this conversation all over again, man. I don't know, man. I think I'm going to get rid of my TI. I'm going to get the TI, man. I don't know. I don't think the 1080 is enough.
All right. So let's go with voicemail number 3. This is from Levelhead Gamer.
Hello, Gamer Tag Radio, and all you guys. This is Levelhead Gamer. Just had a thought for you guys. I was listening to your episode 569. I keep messing up, but I hope this one works. I just want to ask, are we being fair to Nintendo? With the NX, everyone is assuming that it's going to be a weaker system and it shouldn't be, you know, shouldn't be priced at a certain price. I was listening to what you said Emma Rogers had to say, and I think she might be making a mistake to assume, and I think we all making a mistake to assume that it's going to be a weaker system, because I think we're focusing too much on the Wii brand and the philosophy of the Wii brand and the Blue Ocean strategy, and assuming that is Nintendo governing philosophy and omitting what the N64, the Super NES, and the GameCube was in their generation. So my question is, when you look at Resident Evil 4 on the GameCube, a Wave Race on the N64, how can we then assume that Nintendo is not capable of making a piece of hardware that can directly compete graphically and the whole nine with anything Sony or Microsoft make? And why do we only limit Nintendo to what they did with the Wii brand and the Blue Ocean strategy? I hope that makes sense. Thank you for listening to me. Been a fan. Casual fan for the last 2 years. Hope this makes it on the show. Peace.
He said that we're not being fair and other media outlets, and I'm being fair with Nintendo.
Can I take this one?
Yeah, because this is
the Level-Headed Gamer on Twitter. I've argued with this dude like 10 million times about all this stuff over the years. So thank you for leaving a voicemail, first of all. And he even said it in the voicemail. We're literally going off of what Emily Rogers is saying as far as just the power. She's saying that the GPU, you know, is not going to be anything above what the current PlayStation 4 is or anything like that. And we're just looking at Nintendo's MO. They're not chasing third party. Again, this is all going by the rumors that we're hearing. And the CEO or however you want to call him of Nintendo even said, this isn't the successor to the Wii U. This isn't the successor to the 3DS. This is something different. So it doesn't sound like, hey, they're not banging their, they're not Danny like banging her hand on the table saying we're going after PlayStation or Xbox. They're saying we're doing something different. So if they're doing something different, it doesn't sound, and again, we're going by the rumors. It doesn't sound like on the hardware side, they're going to try and compete head to head with the PlayStation Neo, Xbox One, or whatever they're going to do. Nintendo's going to do Nintendo, and they're going to create unique experiences that can only be had on a Nintendo platform. And that's what they do better than anyone else. So personally, I don't care if whatever this NX is going to be, if the GPU in it is a freaking 1080 Ti X12 or something. I don't care. If they're giving me some kind of unique game experience that's freaking amazing, do I really care what the hardware is? No, I just want that experience. And I think that's what Nintendo is going to try and do with the NX next spring. Give us something unique.
Yep. See, now with the whole third-party stuff, like, I mean, come on. We could play that on any system. You know, I just want exclusives. Zelda, Star Fox, all these Mario games like Mario Galaxy, Mario Kart, Smash Brothers. I just care about the exclusives. I don't care if the thing is the console is powerful or not, man. So I just want to see, like, what type of system it is. Like, they always come up with these cool features, like, that we don't see this on, like, in other consoles. So only Nintendo could pull this off, man. You know, so, and now the whole rumor too about the whole handheld that is also going to be part of NX, that's something different. You're not seeing that from Microsoft or Sony. Sony tried with Vita, but it kind of flopped, you know. So I don't know, Pete, you don't care about Nintendo, so
I don't know. We're beating a dead horse here on this one. I mean, we've talked about it.
I mean, people calling and asking and mentioning, so might as well just talk about it, you know? So they think that we're not being fair, and I think that we are being fair with Nintendo. And at the same time, let's be real, they
wow, whoa, just cussing on the podcast.
No, but it's true. Am I right, Paris? They messed up. They messed up.
They screwed up with the Wii U because they underestimated people's they overestimated the importance of that tablet controller. And the Wii U was directly linked to that tablet controller, and they couldn't just toss it to the side. And yeah, they screwed up with that. So hopefully they got a good lessons learned from this. They look at what they did right with the Wii U or with the Wii, excuse me. They look at what they did wrong with the Wii U and then come up with something unique here with the NX. That's what I'm looking forward to. Again, the fact that they're focusing this entire E3 on Zelda in a way says a lot about how confident they are about the Zelda, of it being something that people have to have and they want to play. You know what I mean? At first, when we heard that news, I was like, oh, what is Nintendo doing? This is crazy. And now I'm like genuinely excited to see what the Zelda is going to be, because Nintendo's literally banking on this Zelda being their flagship for E3 2016. So, you know, let's see. Let's see what they do. And then later in the year, when they finally unveil the NX and what the launch games are going to be, let's see what we got. Fingers crossed we get a Mario universe. That's what I want.
Well, I thought you want Mario Galaxy.
Pete, do I need to explain why I said universe?
Okay. Forget it. I'm just saying. I mean, there's other games that you really don't care about Mario, so... And I know you love Galaxy, you know, so...
No, I love Mario, period. What do you mean I don't like Mario? What are you talking about? I like... Okay, let's clarify. I love the platforming Mario. You give me a platforming Mario, I'm in. I love those games. Again, Mario Maker, dude, my son and I play that all the time. Even my daughter's starting to get into doing Mario Maker now. I love that stuff. But yeah, Galaxy, to me, that was the pinnacle of a platforming experience in the Mario verse world, whatever you want to call it. And the reason I say universe, because they could say Galaxy 3, but if they were to truly expand it, then it would be multiple galaxies in one game. And now you're talking about a Mario universe. I think that would be amazing.
Okay. All right. So we have another voicemail here. This is from Brandon, all the way from Orlando, Florida. Florida represent. And this is directly to Pete. Pete, you ready to answer this one?
Yeah, man. Bring it. Bring it.
All right. All right. All right, let's play right now.
Hey, Gamer Dive Radio. This is Brandon from Orlando. I got a response to Pete's prediction, and I'm not saying that's a bad prediction, but I've got this kind of observation. He said that for EA was going to be giving more information about that Criterion game, the ones with the wingsuits and everything like that. From everything that I could hear, I feel like that would be more of a Kinect game, which is the whole reason why they haven't said anything about it. Sounds cool and everything, but either it was going to come to Kinect, or they're going to probably rework it to be a VR game, in which case I say that they're probably going to wait a little bit longer for that. I don't think they're going to talk about it now. Either they're going to talk about, either it got canceled because it was for Kinect, and Kinect has fallen through, as we've all seen, or it's going to come into VR, and I think they had to rework it so that it would go to PlayStation VR, and then, or Oculus and Vive. Anyways, that's my opinion. Thanks for listening. I mean, hold on. Excuse me. You guys are doing awesome. Keep listening every single time. Keep it up. Bye.
All right, Pete. Brandon, first of all, thanks for leaving us a voicemail. Pete, answer it, man. Go for it.
It's hard to say because we're talking about speculations and rumors and what could have been 3 years ago compared to what they could be bringing now. He has some validity to what he says, but again, we're speculating. We don't know. And until Criterion actually comes forth and delivers, or if that was just a pipe dream, we'll never know. So I don't know. It's just a 305 versus the 407 at this point, right?
For those listening, those are the area codes from Miami, Orlando, because it's people that don't know. So just saying.
That's fine. No.
All right. We have another voicemail. And wow, so a couple things here. And let's play right now.
Hey, guys. It's Ben from Tennessee calling in again. Just wanted to say thanks for the feedback on the last question. And actually had some other questions for you. You ever get a chance to answer them. First one, wanted to say, I don't know if you guys saw the new Homefront The Revolution, which, I mean, it's not really, definitely not a good game, but there's a little Easter egg in there dating back with TIE Splitters 2, where you can actually play, like, the story through a little arcade machine hidden in one of the levels. And I thought it was pretty neat because it brought back the memories for me. And I was just curious, do you think they'll ever do a TIE Splitters 4 game? Because I have been waiting for that for years, and I've been wanting them to really bring back that series. But by this point, of course, I'm just doubting it altogether. And also, since TIE Splitters was a trilogy, I'm just curious, what would be your favorite game trilogy set out there? So just love to hear your feedback on that. Keep on doing what you're doing. And before I go, I had a little trivia quiz for Jet Set Radio for Danny and Pete. I don't know if Parasetti played it, but this is for y'all. And it's, which test run does Shibuya Terminal not have? Is it A, Jet Tech, B, Jet Graffiti, C, Jet Dash, or D, Jet Flag? Love to hear if you guys get the right answer. All right, thanks. See you.
All right, Homefront Revolution. First of all, I played the beta. P, have you tried the beta of that game?
I did play the beta. I was not impressed. It was kind of...
Not impressed.
Kind of meh.
Very meh. I think it was very meh. But yeah, I was whatever about the game. So, Time Splitter game. Do you think the return of Time Splitters, do you think it might happen, guys? Yes or no?
No.
Wow. Paris is fast. Okay. There's a reason why. Paris, you say no?
Nah, like he said, it was a trilogy. I don't see them making a fourth game. I don't see the outcry for a fourth game. So I think, you know, development resources and everything will be better served at a new IP versus trying to force feed a fourth game in a trilogy.
What about a remaster HD collection?
None of those surprise me because it's a money grab. So why not?
Okay. All right. Another thing too. What is your favorite trilogy ever?
Is Pete not allowed to answer the questions?
Apparently not.
I mean, Pete. Yes, Pete. Do you care about Time Splitters?
It's not so much Time Splitters as what has Free Radical done lately, other than helping work on Crisis 2 and 3 since they were bought out by Crytek. I mean, the last game that I can remember was Haze.
Yeah, I was going to say Haze. Ugh.
And ooh, that's it. Hey, we haven't seen anything from Free Radical themselves since 2008. So I don't think it's possible. I think maybe their stuff was pulled out and split into Crytek's, you know, build, and we'll see what goes. And if I'm not mistaken, Homefront is what used to be a Free Radical game or a Crytek game. So who knows? Maybe they did work on it. Maybe this is their version of Time Splitters.
I hope not.
No, I just thought of something. This has nothing to do with Time Splitters, but you brought up Free Radical. If my memory serves me correct, aren't they the dev team that made Perfect Dark Zero? Don't they go back that far at Rare?
GoldenEye. And actually, no, they worked on both. They did work on both.
Okay.
Both games?
Free Radical? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They were originally
Rare. Their employees used to work at Rare.
Yep. Because I just remember that was all the buzz about Haze when that came out on PlayStation 3. Oh, there were all these former Rare guys that, you know, they did Perfect Dark, all this stuff. And then Haze came out and it was like.
Have you tried that game at all, Paris?
What game?
Haze.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was terrible.
Okay.
Yeah, but the marketing leading up to that launch
was amazing. Yeah.
Strong. It was strong.
That was going to be the Halo killer.
Jameis Winston strong.
Hey, man, lay off my quarterback.
Now, what? All right. What about best trilogy? Best trilogy ever in gaming?
Grand Theft Auto. Hands down.
But is that a trilogy though? See, this is where it gets tricky because there's games that go beyond three. Are we talking something that's only been three games, or does it go beyond that?
The first game that I thought about was Mass Effect.
That's the first thing I thought about too. But see,
Mass Effect, Gears.
But now there's another one coming out. So it's like, is it technically a trilogy?
That's my point. Because honestly, if we just want to go on like the first three games of something, I'm going Mario Brothers, Super Mario Brothers. I dare you.
The first three?
I dare you. I dare you to tell me something better than Mario 3.
Halo?
Mario 3 laughs at Halo.
Halo 1 through 3? That's pretty good.
I'm saying if you take the original Mario Brothers, Mario 2, which to me is very underrated, one of the best endings ever in a game, and then Mario 3, which is like just the penultimate platforming game ever made, I'll take that. I'll take that over the Halo trilogy. But I agree. If I had to lay it out, it's going to be either the Mario, it's going to be Halo, or it's probably going to be Mass Effect. It's one of those trilogies, I would say.
All right, Pete, you have any other trilogy, Pete?
I'd have to say Grand Theft Auto. For me personally,
which is strong too. Yeah,
that's just for me. It's one of those titles that just kept going. And it was, and personally, San Andreas dropped the ball in the entire series, but it was just one of those heavy hitting games. It just kept coming. It was just always good. So that's who I would say. And then, I think he challenged you on some Jet Set Radio trivia there, Danny. I can't answer that cause I've never played a Jet Set Radio game. So I have nothing to offer.
I think the answer is C. If I remember correctly, it has to be C. So please let me know if I'm correct or not. You could call the voicemail again or email me. But I think is the Jet Dash C. That's my answer. I hope I'm right.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Back on the scene.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
So, Yeah, I believe we have a couple more emails. You want to read a couple, like one or two, and then we go to the E3 predictions?
Yes. I have one that I want to read, and then I'll also give my response to him via email on here, too, because it was all in fun. So
okay.
This is from Ed, and he says, "What's up, PlayStation Network Radio?" cough, cough, Paris. And you don't spell my name right. Let's remember that by the end. I mean, Gamertag Radio, longtime listener and big fan. I actually disagree that Xbox needs that game. Sony has just had better messaging that has resonated with the fans and it spreads. I agree. The PlayStation had a large lead before Uncharted came out with very few exclusives in comparison to Xbox. On the other hand, Xbox had a large list of exclusives, all of which are diverse and really amazing. Danny would agree. They may not be as polished as Uncharted, but all great in their own right, with their game library, backwards compatibility, and more great exclusives coming soon. I feel like Xbox is doing everything right. My question is this. Let's assume that PlayStation Neo and Xbox 1.2-5 are the exact same graphically. Do you think that Xbox can change the messaging and get people aboard the Xbox platform? I think if they're very comparable, the Xbox will sell more consoles than the Neo, simply because PlayStation 4 owners will still have their PlayStation 4 to play Sony games, but could get the new Xbox to play all of its exclusives. For this reason, I think it would be a mistake for Microsoft to not show it with something new. Thoughts? Thanks, Ed from Raleigh, North Carolina. So this was my response to Ed when he said that. So I said, look, if you're going to crack a joke, then A, spell my name correctly. It's P it's P-A-R-R-I-S, not P-A-R-I-S. And then I said, B, it's not PlayStation Network Radio. It's PC Master Race Radio. And then I said, C, Xbox having that game is all subjective and a matter of opinion. And then I said, D, I'm just kidding. LOL. And then he responded back and everything's fine. So reason I brought that up is because, yeah, I mean, as far as the whole that game thing, this is my opinion. I mean, there's no facts, hashtag facts behind that. It's subjective. I mean, people love Sunset Overdrive, Quantum Break and all that. Maybe, games like that that are exclusive to Xbox One, maybe they prefer those over things like Bloodborne and Uncharted 4. That's all your opinion. And you decide that with your money because you're the one buying the system. Right now, I do agree with him that if an Xbox 1.5 were to come out now, power-wise, it was on par with whatever the PlayStation Neo was going to do. It does all the same things the Neo does, but now you still have these exclusive games that people didn't get on the Xbox One, but they already have a PlayStation 4. Why would I upgrade my PlayStation 4 at that point? I might as well just get the Xbox 1.5 if I'm looking to get another console and spend more money. You know what I mean? So I do agree. But at the same time, I don't think that's what Microsoft's doing. So I do think you're going to see a lot of people with PlayStation 4s doubled. I'm going to double dip. I fully admit it. I'm going to get the Neo when it comes out. So, but if there was an Xbox 1.5 and it was doing all the 4K stuff and it truly appealed to me, like, wow, this, I think I need this, then I would probably just keep my PlayStation 4. And yeah, I would go get an Xbox 1.5. But like I said, I don't think they're doing an Xbox 1.5 in 2016. I think whatever they're going to do is probably not coming until next year. You know, if they're doing anything at all beyond just, you know, an Xbox One Slim and maybe a price drop. Because again, like Ryan McCaffrey said on our podcast a few weeks ago, maybe Microsoft just doubles down on Xbox One, drops the price drastically, and just says, look at all the freaking great games that we have at an affordable price. We're the cheapest option with the biggest game library on the market today. Choose us. Maybe that's what they do. And then in a couple of years, they go Xbox Two. So I don't know. That's just my two cents. What do you think, Pete?
See, that's why I always copy off.
No, I mean, to be all honest, I think if they did drop 4K streaming, it would entice me to upgrade the Xbox One. It would entice me to upgrade it simply because I'm pissed off that I've got Netflix streaming on a 1080 when it could stream at 4K. And I'm not getting the video streaming because I do have the Xbox in the middle of my living room, and it does connect to my, you know, it does connect to my surround sound. It connects to my TV. Would I like it as would I like it? And would I probably get it? more than likely because it is the centerpiece of my living room. I do use it for all of my gaming stuff and all of my, you know, watching TV. I like the one guide and everything. It works solid. I don't know if I play the PlayStation enough to upgrade it. And I don't know if it's that necessary for me. I loved Uncharted 4. I'm not gonna lie. I loved it. Thought it was great. But I don't know if I play it enough. Granted, now that I bought Overwatch, maybe I'll play it more. But I don't know if I play it enough to warrant an immediate upgrade.
All right. So we have let's read one more email and then we go to E3 Predictions. Which one you guys would like to read?
All right, this is from G. Wade. Hey, GTR, this is your friend G. Wade from Fresno, California. I have a question about game sharing on Xbox One. My little brother and I game share, and it's great. My question is, can I game share Doom 4 with him and my friend, making it three of us, and still be able to play online together? I don't want to get banned from Xbox Live or something, so I figured I'd ask the three pros. Keep kicking booty hole. Dead Space 4, let me dream. See? See?
I think the way he's doing it is not the official game share way.
You're gonna go to jail, dude. You better not.
Yeah. And another thing too, there's no way that you could do this at the same time and all of you guys could play the game online. To make it things easier, just buy the freaking game, or wait until Microsoft make an official announcement about family share. So, and I think if they do, I think the concept originally was you could share the game to one person, right? And that's it. Once that person returns the game to you, then you could also play. You could play both at the same time, single player, but only one person could play the multiplayer of the game. So, yes, just wait until the official family share from Microsoft, in my opinion. So, if P and Pirates would like to say anything else about it.
You pretty much said it. I guess I would just throw in my little Miss Leo that I think some form of game sharing is going to be announced at E3 by Microsoft. I can't remember if we'd said that before already or not. But yeah, the way he's currently doing isn't technically in the user agreement that you signed. I'll just say that. So, yeah.
Okay. Pete?
I'm not
okay. All right.
Dead Space 4. Yes.
Yes. Let me dream. All right. And now let's go to E3 predictions.
Hey, darling. This is certified psychic Miss Leo. Here are Gamer Tag Radio's E3 predictions.
All right. This is a big one because the company that we're going to talk about, they're not going to have no press conference. They might have a couple booth there, but are there going to be any announcements during E3? So this is about Take-Two, the mothership Take-Two, and which is 2K Games, Rockstar Games. Any other companies are missing?
Firaxis. XCOM 2. Hey, they're strong.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to go first because Pete and Paris already went first a couple of times now. And I think, I know I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago that I think that Rockstar is going to make the announcement of Red Dead Redemption Sony. But thinking about it more and more, I think they're going to make this announcement at the Xbox press conference. I thought about this for the past week or so. I have my reasons. And if we go back.
Sam.
Oh, well, let me say why, punk. So let me go back. And the reason why I say that is because the original Red Dead Redemption was available a couple months ago by mistake on Xbox One. And then out of nowhere, it disappeared. Nobody know why. Microsoft said it was a mistake and all this stuff. I think the reason they have that game available, maybe in the future it's going to be available on Xbox One, is because if they make this announcement, either one, they'll say you could play the game right now on Xbox One. For like games of gold, for gold for free. Two, it could be pre-order the game and you could download this game for free. That's what I think it might happen. So that's one of my predictions. Now, Are they going to make any announcements about Agent in the future at the Sony press conference? I hope so. That's from Rockstar. And one more. Borderlands. Is it possible to see a teaser on one of the press conferences? If they do, it might be at the Sony press conference. And that's it. I'm done. Go for it, Paris or Pete.
So my prediction for 2K is short and sweet. They're going to come out and announce a BioShock collection, you know, complete remaster on Xbox One, PlayStation 4. Obviously bundle it together for the versions already on Steam. And then they're going to also announce a new BioShock, and it's going to come out in 2017, and it's going to take place in the future versus in the past, but it will have ties back to the original trilogy.
Can I have a question? I have a question, Paris.
Yes.
Do you see this as just a press conference announcement? If so, Sony and Xbox, or are they just going to have a press release, here's a video, and that's it?
I think it would be amazing if they announced a BioShock with a press release and a video. Hey, it's BioShock.
At E3. Everyone check your emails.
At E3. No, I mean, this is something you'll see. I can't predict if it'll be Microsoft or Sony, but yeah, it'll be a one of them.
Okay. And that's it?
That's all I got, because they already announced Civ 6, because that would have been one that I was sure was coming, and sure enough it is. God, I feel like there's going to be a Sid Meier something, and I can't quite predict it, but there's going to be something new coming from the Sid Meier's camp. I just don't know what it is yet. That's all I got.
All right. Pete?
All right, so Red Dead Redemption, obviously, and I think it's going to get stupid with the advertising, so you can do an R3D, you know, for the three. Mafia 3's already been given a proper release date in October, so I don't think they're going to do anything with that IP. Obviously, Randy Pitchford already announced that they're already working on Borderlands 3, so we might see a teaser to showcase where they're going. Will we see Handsome Jack again? Claptrap, please. Now on to the actual prediction stuff. I'm going to say XCOM 2 drops the DLC information. I know Ken Levine's been in the rumor mill talking about his first person sci-fi game, maybe System Shock. Maybe it's a twist on the whole BioShock thing and goes into the System Shock reboot. Midnight Club returns, please. Please give me
Midnight
back.
Midnight Club?
Give me another Midnight Club, please.
What was the last one?
Dub Edition.
What year was
Midnight,
that?
Oh, that was a long time. Midnight Club LA, right? The Dub Edition?
Something like that.
Yeah. And then I think because it had a shaky launch, and I think it's a solid enough, and I think not just a solid enough title that warrants it, but I think that the arena fighter genre is starting to pick up steam, so I'm thinking an Evolve 2 or a sequel to Evolve pops up.
Is it possible that we might see a DLC for Grand Theft Auto, an expansion pack, new campaign, everything? Yeah, this game is still selling, so might as well just release something else.
That's a good one, because I would not be shocked at all to see them continuing to put out new content for
all the more
Auto.
Reason,
why not?
All the more reason for a Take Two or Rockstar press conference, bro.
I know. if they do announce,
he will not let that go.
No, I'm not gonna let it go. They're gonna have a presence. Calling it.
P is gonna be like, oh, is it here? He's gonna be the only one sitting there waiting for this press conference to start, and it's like crickets
or a booth, man. Give me a booth with cricket.
Yeah. But you know what? If they do announce a new expansion pack for Grand Theft Auto, new story and everything, might as well just announce it at the Sony press conference. You know, they had a marketing deal for the last Grand Theft Auto. I think it would make sense for them to do the same at the Sony press conference. So, and that's it. I think that's it, right? We're done with the prediction?
Yeah, I think we're good. I think that's it.
All right. Now, who's the next episode? It's getting close. E3 is getting close, guys. what should be the next E3 prediction?
Capcom.
Okay. All right. That will be for next week. For the next
episode. Is that a good one? I mean, is there anything else that we?
No, can that's good. That's a pretty good one. I like Capcom. That's good. I mean, they still have a booth, so something they already
Activision.
Definitely gonna have something.
Did we already do an Activision Blizzard?
No, we've not done that.
So I mean, we're talking Activision. Do we do Activision and Blizzard as the same one, or just
wait? But they're not gonna have a booth at all, right? Activision this year.
But what does that matter? We know they got games and stuff.
Two or three games.
Yeah, and the Ice Cream Man is coming. So let's hurry this up.
All right. So we're going to wrap it up.
All right, Activision or are we doing Capcom?
Let's go with Capcom and then Activision. I think Capcom will be great first.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, so head over to GamerTagRadio.com or play.it/GamerTag. Listen to our past episodes and find us iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories. Share with your friends and also review us on iTunes. We need help on that big time. All right. And give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Or email us fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Once again, I'm attending at the Academy Podcasters Awards in Chicago, July 6th. So any listeners out there that would like to attend with me at the awards, email me at Godfrey@gamertagradio.com and I'll give you the full details about it. All right. So we still got time, but make sure let's get some listeners over there, man. I did that last year, and it was a lot of fun, man. All right, and that's it for me. You guys have anything to say before we wrap it up?
Rest in peace, Golden State. Jesus.
I know. Wow.
Well, yeah, I think it's done.
They're getting wrecked.
Again? Yeah. Wow.
And you know what's crazy? Because we're recording this during game four, and at one point they were down big and cut it to four, and I stopped paying attention, and then I turned back again. Now they're down what, like 20 or something again?
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's 53-72 as we at halftime. Good googly moogly.
Oh my god. Yep. All right, so we're out. Until next time. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.